It is. It will be too next October.
What a disaster. Before we get into the mass murders.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter now. Grab your little pin, listener. Okay. So at the real R David. So got the first follower.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Michael Day, film producer. Check out his new series, Sisters, on Amazon Prime. Sisters. So thank you, Michael, for getting into the pool. First one in. Pretty embarrassing. One follower.
Well, you'll have another one soon.
I don't know. It's been over 20 minutes, so we'll see.
Well, that'll be me. It will be me. And maybe I'll start using my Twitter account again.
You should do that. At the real R. David. I'm going to say it one more time.
That's at symbol.
Okay, enough masturbation for me. Let's move on to the mass murders.
Okay, and that's big news. There's other big news as well. So let's start with the shootings.
What's the other big news?
Well, the biggest voting rights bill in half a century since the 60s is passed the House, being discussed in the Senate. Republicans, are really upset.
we don't need them though, right?
What? The Republicans?
Republicans.
Yeah, we don't need Republicans. The people of the United States do not need Republicans. But
no, I'm saying specifically this legislation within the Senate, we don't need a single Republican vote to get this through, right? We have the tiebreaker.
It's a big bill. They're even wondering if all of 50 Democrats will be on board. Without some tweaking of the bill.
What's so draconian about the bill? What's the problem?
They didn't really specifically point that out, and the major part of the bill is to limit the ability of Republicans to gerrymander, to make voter ID laws and other voting suppression techniques, and just make it easier for more people to vote. That's what the deal is.
So how will this come to bear on the 200-plus pieces of legislation aimed at limiting voting that's going on nationwide?
It should shoot down most of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But of course, pearl clutching, I love that phrase. Ted Cruz says, this bill is the single most dangerous bill this committee has ever considered. The bill is designed to corrupt.
It is good then.
Yeah, this bill is designed to corrupt the election process permanently, and it is a brazen and shameless power grab by Democrats.
Okay, so eliminating the ability of politicians to gerrymander and fuck with voting ability, that is dangerous to Republicans. Is that what Ted Cruz is saying?
And I think he's right about that, although you have to be, you have to take a look at his language. Corrupt the election process permanently. In other words, let more people vote is corrupting the election process.
For Republicans, sure.
Well, that's hardly a corruption. If more people who are eligible to vote can vote, that sounds like a good thing to me. That sounds like a better democracy.
Sounds like the idea, right? But the claim to fame, right?
Well, he went further too. Cruz, of course, good old Ted Cruz, went further and to outright lies about the bill. He falsely claimed the bill would register millions of undocumented immigrants to vote. Completely untrue. There's nothing in there that would allow that, make that happen. He accused Democrats of wanting the most violent criminals to cast votes, too. The bill does nothing about in franchising felon. So out and out lies. So
violent, real violent criminals, are they really into voting? Is that a deal? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I personally think I don't know why, you know, being a criminal should make you not eligible, lose the franchise. I think there should be
does that seem like a thing though? Like a violent criminal, like, oh, you know what? Who is great stabbing those people? Right, you know what? Let me make sure I'm registered to vote.
So I can vote against, you know, so against legal sanctions against stabbing people. Right?
Stabbing people. Right.
Not a thing. I think there should be polls should be put in prison so the people in prison can vote. But that this new bill, it's called For the People Act, has nothing about that in there. It doesn't enfranchise.
Okay, so we're not at that stage yet where we re-enfranchise incarcerated people.
So
we're not at that point yet.
So not satisfied with calling democracy corruption. He's got to sweeten the pot with some out-and-out lies. Good old Ted Cruz.
Well, you know, honestly, I think he could have said anything. I don't think Republicans really give a shit. They see where it's coming from. They're going to vote against it. They voted against the stimulus, for Christ's sake.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
I put nothing past them as a voting group right now. I put nothing past them.
Yeah. And they know that their base will eat up anything they dish out, so that's what they give them. Anything.
Can you see Republicans like taking that stimmy check and being like, oh, fuck, cash this, but you know, these bastards, you know,
right.
They're ruining the country. Let me swing by the bank and take this nut, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I think what Republicans are doing in the various states, and especially ones where they control, and with these 200 plus bills aimed at, you know, restricting the vote, Robert Reich called it the biggest attack on our democratic institution since Jim Crow.
Hey, that guy is great. Do you know his Twitter? I got to follow him on Twitter. Thank you.
I'm not following. Yeah, I haven't. I should. I'm going to get back on Twitter. I like Robert Reich, and he lays it out in a way that even idiots can understand. It's like democracy for idiots.
No, that's good. I have a shot at it too. I'm excited. No, he's great. Every time I read a tweet, like on Facebook, somebody's reposted, or maybe it's him posting it, I don't know. But anytime I read something on Facebook, and I just start laughing, and I'm like, holy shit, it's him.
I know.
Every time.
I know.
Every time. It's wild. Well, I'm going to get his book.
Yeah, right. What's it called?
The latest one. What's it called? Hold on.
We should know this, but absolutely.
The System, Who Rigged It and How We Fix It.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. And he does nail it. Moving on a little bit. My favorite news story yesterday concerned Sidney Powell.
Okay. Oh, that's great. I love that. Bring people up to speed on that.
Yeah. She claimed in her latest court filing yesterday that and defense for her defamation suit, you know, from Dominion.
Get the phrasing right on this.
Reasonable people wouldn't have believed as fact her assertions of fraud after the 2020 presidential election. Reasonable people wouldn't believe that. You know,
look, I'm not.
How can I damage anybody?
I didn't damage anybody. No, only a moron would think what I was saying was true.
Well, what's kind of interesting, it seems like an incredible assertion to make, but it also, to me, seems like a poor defense. I don't think it's of any legal consequence that, you know, millions of people who might have believed, you know, might be idiots. Her false statement damaged Dominion business reputation. It's classic defamation.
Here's the thing, though. It's a bad defense, but It's true. I mean,
don't like you.
Hearing her say it, it wasn't the first time I heard that phrase. Right. I thought it to myself hundreds of times.
Yeah, right.
What kind of a moron would swallow any of this? That's her defense. I'll tell you what, I'm inclined to let her skate on this. If everyone will write in and say, yeah, I'm a moron, I felt for it. You know what I mean? I'd like to see some kind of, right, that's so great. Can that be any better?
Could not be any better.
Give her a pass. I say give her a fucking pass. Let her go back to her career. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't go that far, but
I got no problem with it. You know?
Well, Fox did it like a month ago when when Dominion first started the defamation suit against Fox and Newsmax, and they backed right up. Also saying something very similar to that you know, who would believe this?
Yeah, there's no evidence. Newsmax, fully invested into Trump at this point, is like, you know, there's nothing here.
However, millions of people did believe it, and Dominion was demonstrably damaged by that assertion and the belief of their sycophants. Can I use that word?
I think that would denote some kind of thinking is involved. Like, oh, I love this person. Let me follow them. I don't think, no, not with her argument. These are straight up morons. That's it. No, they're not reasonable, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
That's a loaded, reasonable is a loaded word. Reasonable is where you shit yourself in public on purpose. That's on the other side of reasonable. You know what I mean?
That Sidney Powell, ultra-right-wing lawyer, saying that the Republican base are not reasonable.
All she did was stand there for months and say the opposite. As many fucking times as she could. As many times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In multiple court filings.
In court filings. In court. In court, mind you. Not just on TV.
Here's the other part of that, though. Judge, when I was standing in front of those other judges, I was lying. Whoa!
Yeah, but
why do you believe me now?
Well, no reasonable judge would have believed me.
Hey, as it turns out, no reasonable judge did.
No reasonable judge did, but you can't fault me for trying.
Right. Oh, man. I don't think it's a great defense.
Nah, it's not a great defense.
However, there's right-wing judges out there, so I don't know. It's kind of the problem with the Supreme Court. And it's kind of a Republican problem. They put, you know, John Roberts on there, and then when John Roberts, you know, is stuck with a precedent in jurisprudence that he can't get around, and it goes against Republicans, so they think he's, you know, a traitor. They don't understand. They don't understand precedents and jurisprudence, which lawyers kind of do, kind of.
No, I'm listening. I'm just doing other shit, too, so, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, but when Sidney Powell did it, Fox News did it, okay, you know, there's, Mark Lindell, or is it Mike Lindell, is very upset with Tucker Carlson. And that's Carlson's biggest advertiser. So. So that's interesting. I kind of
I like that. I don't like Tucker Carlson, whatever, Fox, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're doing everything they can to slow every bit of progress down that we could make.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's their job right now, is to just slow it down. And you know what? If I was an alien or I'm looking at it for 500 years, you know what? Maybe it is important to have some balancing thing that slows progress down so that you can do it properly. You see
what
I'm saying?
I think it should be the truth, though.
I know, but fuck all that. It ends to a means, you know what I mean? Look, if we're all on the same page, then we're doomed to make some horrible error from some miscalculation. If we have to fight and scrap for every little bit of progress on any level, because you have these Neanderthals slowing it down, then maybe there is some,
Biden, yeah.
There's some benefit to that in some way, in a weird way.
Well, that is one of the arguments for, one, the filibuster. Don't let government do anything at all, because they fuck up so often. That's kind of
just
what...
to slow it down. Try to slow it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Like, is this looking bad at humans? Is this like saying humans aren't smart enough to do this, so we got to handicap the system in such a way where it's gruelingly slow when things are off?
Okay, so many of the founding fathers did want to limit democracy for exactly that reason. People are too stupid. That's classic John Adams. He called democracy mobocracy. Democracy to him was a dirty word. So that's, you know, one of our key founders too. And And we definitely have more democracy now than we did coming out of the Constitution. Because, the Senate, there was no popular vote for senators. Senators were elected by state legislatures. So that, and, the House had some popular vote. But the vote itself was restricted to, property owning males. Of, you know, a certain amount of property too. A pocket knife wasn't enough property. You had to have land. So, so the franchise was severely limited coming out of the Constitution. And
man, you're really in your wheelhouse when you start talking the Constitution. I think the best radio you ever do is the time right after you say the word Constitution. you start getting into this space like, look, you motherfuckers, there's a history to this shit, and da da da. You know what I mean? You
well, because the history is so often misrepresented. It's so often misrepresented.
And is there any way for us to know like what really, really happened in your mind?
To a certain degree, yes, we know a lot about what they were talking about and what each guy was talking about in their letters and in the diary.
A lot of this is based, I know that, and I knew you were going to say diary, and I'm saying I write in a journal, you know what I mean? And when I look back to stuff I wrote years ago, you know, I don't know I don't know what narcotic I was on. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, my perspective has changed, and I can see that I was embellishing at times. You know what I mean?
Well, so here's an interesting thing. Yes, and that's why I say to a degree. But so I've read most of Thomas Jefferson's letters, if not all of them. I've read his book. I've studied, you know, quite a few histories. I can know things about Thomas Jefferson that his best friends did not know. But what it's like to sit down and have a conversation with Thomas Jefferson, no, I don't know that as well as somebody who knew him. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy between, you know, what you can learn from history and what you cannot learn from history. And so there's, yeah, it's interesting that way. But you can know a lot. Like I say, I can know more about Thomas Jefferson than his best friends did in certain ways. And that goes across the board.
Well, I don't know. History is written by the victorious, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you can start looking in the cracks and you can find some shit.
Well, you can cross-reference, you know. We know Napoleon existed. You know, we can assume that that's correct, right?
Right.
So then how far you want to go down the list kind of just depends on your education, what you look at, how you assess that.
Yeah.
Right. 9/11, too. Things like that.
Sure. Where are the plane parts that flew into the Pentagon?
So where's the fucking, you know, you do bring up a good point. Where are the plane parts? You know, but nonetheless, we don't need to get into that. I mean, you know.
I think the plane flew into the Pentagon.
There's also parts of the plane that are, it's interesting that they're not there. Like, for example, the 20-ton Rolls-Royce titanium engines. But anyway, who knows? Who knows what you want to do? You know, there's a little weird shit, right?
The airplane flew into it.
Right, absolutely. And like I said, you know, different. I saw the video. They released the video anyway. So
sure.
That showed it.
Yeah.
You know. All five frames.
But
it clearly shows something striking the building and exploding, and, you know, it fits the story, so.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit at this point, anyway? You know what I mean? Most of the principals are dead already, anyway. So.
Will we ever learn if there were other shooters than Oswald? We may never learn that. So there's history.
Yeah, but didn't some guy, well, Ted Cruz's dad or something? Or no, but.
Right. yeah, he was on, behind that picket fence on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, but don't we already, as a population, assume it wasn't Oswald? Right? Or no?
Well, no, I'm not saying no on that at all. Many people believe multiple shooters. That degree, yes.
Okay,
many
well,
people believe
right
that.
Now.
But
right now.
Believing and being able to prove the assertion, two different things.
Okay, so in 1992, Congress passed a law ordering that all the remaining papers be released by October 26, 2017.
On the Kennedy assassination?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the biggest poll, or most recent poll, from 2017, showed that 33% of Americans believe that there was a lone assassin. Okay. So, right. That's a lot of people.
Well, in 1968, about 50% of Beatles fans thought Paul was dead.
Okay. I'm not going to look that one up. But could 67% of Americans be wrong about the Kennedy deal?
Or 50 million
Absolutely.
Frenchmen? Absolutely they could be wrong.
Absolutely they could be wrong. Because as Sidney Powell just demonstrated, we have a lot of morons out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? A lot. Right. A lot of unreasonable people, I would say.
Yeah, but...
Like 75 million at least, right? Active unreasonable, 75 million.
Minimum. Yeah, why are people so credulous? So ready, willing, and able to believe the most preposterous nonsense that were, you know, to come down the pike.
Maybe because the government told us that titanium vaporized. I'm not sure, you know, which that's the official fucking story, by the way. So I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's a jet engine. We're not going to get into it, but.
No. And I don't think they're going to solve why people are so credulous either.
You know, jet engines run on fuel, jet fuel, right?
I thought we were not going to get into it.
So that is the propellant that explodes inside the thing that makes the thing go. We understand that at least, right?
Okay. Right. Right.
And, okay. All right. So, but jet fuel vaporizes the engine.
So who says they were there? Who says the titanium engines were not found, were not there?
I'm not going to get into the 9/11 commission report with you, okay? But a question did come up during the 9/11 commission report about what happened to those engines.
Sure. So,
right. Like, why aren't they there? You know what I mean? By the way, we're not going to get into this.
We're not doing this.
In fact, I'm legally, I can't do this. So. I'm not allowed to do this.
Okay.
But I think you're right though. No, you spoke about it, people being so incredulous, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so
no, not
it
incredulous.
Comes from a history
not
of being
credulous. Credulous. Not incredulous. Credulous.
Oh, incredulous is the good thing, then.
Yeah. Well, that's it's a good thing. The credulous is willing and able to believe the most preposterous nonsense.
Okay.
QAnon. Baby eating.
I mean, I'm biting my tongue right now. Like, I want to add to your list. But
I think baby eating fucking needs. Baiting.
Okay, how about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
Exactly.
Right.
Precisely.
I mean, the list, we can keep going. I mean, the list is pretty ridiculous, this kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Y2K.
Yeah, right.
Okay, or more, how about more current? Don't wear a mask. It's your freedom.
Yeah, my freedoms. Yeah.
My fucking freedoms. Right. And how come every time 10 people get shot while they're just minding their own business, the very first fucking thing some people do, same people, unreasonable people, Sidney Powell was mentioning, by the way, the first thing they do is say, hey, what the fuck, stay away from our guns.
And go all the way to false flag. Didn't happen.
Nobody mentioned the first people to mention the guns, I swear to God, the first people to mention the guns were the fucking right-wing people.
Of course.
They're just throwing up the defense, but no one even said fucking guns. We're still actually trying to figure out to solve the motive on the first. And then on the second one, you know, I mean, and I'm admiring the restraint of the media right now because I have not heard the word terrorist for the second guy yet. I haven't heard that or seen it. You know what I mean? And he's a guy you could call a terrorist, right? Because he looks like it, right?
Right, right. And yeah. You're right. They are because he's got a what? He's got a Middle Eastern name.
He looks Middle Eastern. He has a Middle Eastern name. This one's ripe. This one's ripe to fucking paint that way, no matter what the guy's history is. You know what I mean? And they're not doing it.
So far, yeah.
So far, they're not. Not even the right wing media is doing it. It's like everyone.
That's what I'm saying. It. Yeah.
It's working. It's actually working. This is how it works. People are like, you know what? Fuck this. You know, let's not even do that. We'll tailor the message to what the society wants to hear.
Save my guns. Let's not worry about Muslim terrorists. Save my guns.
Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's coming for those guns. It's too big a business. Has no one figured this out yet?
Right, all the way through. Obama had 8 years to get your guns, and he didn't make one baby step.
And you know what sucks is we actually had an assault weapons ban briefly. I don't remember the years.
The Brady Bill.
A little bit.
Yeah, the Brady Bill.
And it actually did cut down on gun violence.
Does work.
Well, I know there's some sociologists will say, no, that's economy that did that. Okay, that's fine. You know, but
right.
while we had the bill, the numbers went down. So it's a mistake it's a mistake. We should at least try again, right? Maybe just an assault weapon ban. Since everybody's using AR-15s, let's force these guys to use some other weapon.
So that is really being considered now as a result of the shooting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so they ramp up to false flags.
Well, to stoke polarization, right? There's some other,
right.
Keep us against each other.
You know, I would like to see a society where there were far fewer guns. I don't see any pathway to that, though, through legislation. Sorry to say.
There could be 10 times as many guns. It's not a problem. Just fix the stratification. Fix the poverty. Get a safety
right.
That works. Put a safety net and a mental health system in place, a health system really, that works. And you don't have to worry about that. Everybody can have all the AR-15s they want.
You're reading right from my playbook. Help society. Yeah, it's not the guns, it's the mental illness, it's the misinformation, it's the...
Well, just like it's not the guns and it's not the drug user, okay? Because that's what they sold us in the 80s. So we need all this, we need to criminalize narcotics and lock everybody up and build prisons. That's what they sold us.
Yeah.
So the problem was the criminalization of the drug user. That was the problem.
Serious problem. We did serious, in fact, I think that was the biggest social damage we've done to our country since the Civil War.
Generational damage that affected poverty.
Putting millions of people in jail for marijuana. That's not an exaggeration. Breaking up families.
Not an exaggeration. And building fucking all kinds of prisons over it. On top of
right?
that.
And
more prisons, right?
America is limping in the world right now. And that's a big part of it. Stupid people. I'm just going to say that. That believe nonsense. Did you hear Bill Maher the other day? Talking about China. He said, it was one of his new rule bits. New rule, you're not going to win the battle for the 21st century if you are a silly people. And Americans are a silly people. We all know China does bad stuff. They break promises about Hong Kong autonomy. They put Uyghurs in camps and punish dissent. And we don't want to do that. But there's got to be something between authoritarian government that tells everyone what to do and a representative government that can't do anything at all. He said, we've been, on a national level, we've been having infrastructure week every week since 2009, but we never do anything. Half the country is having a never-ending woke competition, and the other half believes we have to stop the lizard people because they're eating babies. China sees a problem and they fix it. They build a dam, we debate on what to rename it. Definitely has a point there.
Okay, so now I got to follow Bill Maher.
Ugh. Well, you don't have to follow Bill Maher. He's got his own. Not everybody likes him, and I understand why. But I think he's dead on this one. China is our big competition in the world today, and we're a flailing giant, and they're getting stuff done. They've taken over Africa.
Okay.
They have Africa.
What do you think stopped you from being a hippie? When did you lose your hippiness? When did that happen? What did you think?
I don't think that did happen. Why?
No, you lost your hippiness.
You think I did?
I think so.
Well, what's hippiness then? I was always on the beatnik side of hippie anyway, not on the new age.
Hippiness would be
side.
The notion that we got to figure out a way to love China if we're going to work with them.
I was never that. I never had that to lose.
Okay, but that was the answer ultimately, right? It was just everybody, you know what? Fuck everything. Fuck our differences. Let's all love each other and work together because we're humans. One human brotherhood. have this acid, and let's do this. And what I'm saying is that never caught on, but of course it is the answer, right?
Well, is it a realistic answer? I honestly can't say.
For starters, let's get past the idea that we're not, every single one of us isn't hopelessly an addicted junkie to some drug.
Yeah, right.
Past that.
Sure.
Every fucking person on this earth that walks around, especially in the United States, is a junkie. There's some narcotic that they need every single day. They have to get it at some interval that they've decided, and that's their life. Am I wrong about that? Is there even a single person that you would not call a junkie for some narcotic of some kind that they're ingesting, that they're getting somehow?
Well, for me it's probably coffee, but...
So if you woke up tomorrow and found yourself in a situation where you couldn't get coffee, the day started, you got stuck at the pad, you couldn't leave, there was no coffee there, and you can't leave till 2 in the afternoon. That's a problem.
By then, I would probably have a mild headache, and I'd go, oh, damn, you know. But that'd be about the extent of it.
Let's just say you're it wouldn't be far from your thought till 2. Right.
That's correct.
Till the very fucking very first moment that you could realistically, reasonably, leave your pet drug. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you're a fucking junkie. I mean, you may be high functioning. You may be high functioning to the point where you can go 7 hours into meeting your fix and not get it, and you'll be okay. You can talk to people and function and deal with that.
No question. There's a physical reaction to not getting coffee for me. Absolutely.
I mean, you're a junkie. You're a junkie. You know
that's,
what I mean? I mean,
that's a definition. Your body is chemically acclimatized to a particular substance.
Okay, so I have a number of things that fit that definition.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, I got monkeys on my back, not a monkey. I got monkeys. Okay, I'm itching. I'm just saying, everybody fits under that. So the rejection to the LSD, free love, let's all get on psychedelics and love each other, the reasonable pushback to that was, we don't want to be on drugs all the time. A society can't function where everybody's on drugs all the time. That was the argument, right?
Which I never bought.
Your free love, Woodstock, all that Burning Man, your free love, LSD, all that shit, it can't work because we all got to go to work, and we can't all be junkies going to work, right?
Okay, so we've got to make there's a line that you have to draw, and one is, the term is generally called physical addiction. In other words, your body acclimatizes in a physical way to a particular substance. That happens with heroin. That happens with opiates. That happens with alcohol. It does not happen with marijuana, LSD, and mushrooms. It doesn't happen with them. So that's a difference right there.
Well, you're confusing the thing a little bit, but yeah.
I am confusing the thing a little bit because that's a line. That's a real line in drug taking.
But it sounds like it makes it more palatable to the functioning of society. If all of us were on LSD to some level, you understand what I'm saying? You don't think that society would work? I mean, I don't know
anybody that's constantly on LSD. I knew a guy that took 10 hits every day for like 10 months, and then he stopped, and he was a weird guy.
We're not talking about always on LSD. We're talking about a society where most people are doing LSD when they're done with work. And most people, while they're at work, are coming down from their LSD and are to a scientific note, are microdosing, let's say.
Oh.
LSD in their system. And they're not hallucinating.
That was my last 2.5 years in the Navy.
Microdosing LSD?
No. I full hit.
Interesting.
Coming into quarters the next morning and coming down.
Yeah, you should write a book about that. I'm saying... seriously, I'd like to do the preface.
I'd let you too.
Well, I mean, you're not letting me. You're paying me, but
it's not. If you want to, you can do it, but pay, I don't know. Well, we'll look at, we can look that up.
Purposes. But, you know, points is points. No, but I'm saying we, you know, the avoidance to the let's all synthesize LSD into the water supply and live
okay.
On that. Because that was the radical notion of the 60s was, what if we just, like a social terrorist kind of thing, what if we synthesize LSD into the water supply of the whole city? How would city?
Okay, so I'm just going to say that was called, that was never a dominant thought. That was kind of a radical Hollywood idea that every, you know, put everyone over 30 into, you know, camps and give them LSD and every day. And it was a wild-eyed notion that most people never bought.
While the army was doing it on a small scale, right?
So I think what gets called hippiness, especially today, probably never really happened. It was probably never really like that. That was more of a Hollywood thing. The range of counterculture types in the 60s was a large range. It was a wide range. All the way from existentialist hippies to, you know, new age, you know, fairy believers. You know, it was a wide range.
Well, there were actual scientists, social scientists and other gurus and other people who we would consider foundations of the culture. I'm not going to mention their names, but they were completely into the synthesizing of LSD into a municipal water supply. They were into that. They thought it could actually work. You know,
really?
I mean? Oh yeah. And not
okay.
In a made way like everybody's tripping balls. Not like that.
Yeah.
It's figuring out the usage and calculating it to where it's such a minute amount of LSD that enters the bloodstream. And then
so how much LSD would,
that up.
How much LSD would you have to put in the local reservoir to make that happen, though? That'd be a lot of LSD.
And that is a government issue, you know, and that's something that's figured out. And certainly, you know, the ability of the market and the how that works, it comes to bear. And yes, it takes, of course it takes time. But, you know, you start it on a small scale, it can have a massive effect. I mean, the thing is, we avoided that, those ideas, because we had this overarching idea that if everybody was a hunky, then society would collapse. It's the way they sell criminalization to us.
Oh, right.
Except we're all junkies anyway. So, and not all good things. You know what I mean? There's alcoholics, there's people that are hooked on violence and stress and all kinds of things. People are junkies to a lot of weird shit. And wouldn't it be better if we were all kind of hooked on LSD?
So a lot of Mormons don't drink or take imbibe any of that stuff. They're hooked on religion, but, and that's another kind of, you know, thing, but
superiority and those type of
right, but the,
have their own allure, you know.
Definitely that, but it's not a substance.
I don't think there's a junkie. I mean, you know what I mean? They show me a Catholic, I'll show you a junkie. That's the phrase I used to hear a lot.
Oh, really?
I traveled in some weird circles. that's a phrase I heard many times people say, show me a Catholic, I'll show you a junkie. But I think it's everybody. I don't think there's anybody that's immune. I see the line at Dunkin' Donuts in the drive-thru. You're telling me those aren't junkies?
Right. I mean, I get the way you're using that term, and you're not wrong.
That's the term. It's somebody that would be under a stress if they couldn't have it. You are a junkie to that thing. If you can't get it when you need it or want it and you start to feel weird about it, that's a thing. It's a thing. Could be whatever it is.
Chocolate ice cream.
Masturbating.
Well, right? That's its own thing. Whoa, that's That's the guy in Georgia. He claims sex addiction.
So he went and shot the massage girls?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's going to be his defense.
Hmm.
Right?
That's a tough one, huh?
I would say yes.
It's new territory, criminal justice-wise and psychologically-wise. It's a new defense. So is it viable?
It's a biological imperative. I mean, it's like third. It's like after air, food, and water. And third is sex. A biological imperative. How do you call that an addiction, though?
Okay. So it's reasonable or unreasonable.
Right?
He's going to say, I'm going for insanity because of this. That's the move here. I'm not. I'm a drug addict.
Yeah, right? I guess that's what he's saying.
Right.
I don't think it's going to work.
I don't know, because I don't know. I mean, that could be a thing, right? Or no?
But that could be, yes, but that could be a thing with anyone who has sex
partners. Sure. Well, I get that. That's what makes it reasonable.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
And so not a defense.
He went crazy, but could you go too far with that and go crazy and then therefore end up where this guy ended up? Is that unreasonable then? It's reasonable for him to become addicted, but.
Look, I think my libido is unreasonable, but I'm not killing, you know, 8 people.
No,
and most people are not.
Look, the guy would never walk. I would put him in a hospital forever. But should he go to a prison or a hospital? Is what I'm saying.
Oh, right. So I don't think we have enough information on that yet. You might be. Maybe.
What do you think is going to happen to this? What's going to happen to this guy in prison? We'll talk about that for a moment. You know.
He should not be in the prison population. They will tear him apart.
They tear the shit out of that guy, right? And in fact, if you want to ensure that that's not going to happen, then that's going to be not prohibitively expensive, but that's going to be expensive to keep
right.
him protected.
Right.
Right. So what about just keeping him doped up all the time and in therapy and have him in a prison, a chemical prison? How about that?
There's a try idea.
Well, I'm saying those are the two alternatives. Either we keep him doped up in a kennel, have chemical chains on him that keep him from getting out, you know.
Right.
In some reasonable security, and we try to study him and put him in, you know. I mean, that costs money too, but it's not the same money as having him on death row. That's very expensive. And protective custody on death row is very expensive.
Sure, sure. Well,
it's the most expensive way to do it. So
job one with this guy is to keep him from walking around in the world ever again.
I would think when you kill 10 people, you know.
Yeah, right?
You know, I don't like prisons and I don't think they work. So, you know. I'm with Angela Davis on that one. Yes, they are obsolete.
Yeah, right. I'm 100% agree.
But, this guy, yeah, I mean.
Putting criminals together is a bad idea. I don't know how you separate, you know, prisoners. I think, okay, so we've got a couple of million prisoners. I think most of them don't need to be in prison, don't need to be even be separated from society.
Correct.
And then when you get down to the number that these people should not be running around, they are dangerous, I think you can figure out a way to isolate them so that they're not with other criminals.
You're doing your own thing right there. I mean, if you released everybody that shouldn't be in prison, then each of these guys could have their own wing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They never see another criminal.
They never see another criminal, and there's always a human presence looking at them, interacting with them. I mean, it's not, you know, it doesn't become this weird torture to produce psychos. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, right. You brutalize people, you get a brutalized person.
Yeah.
And so
Middle East policy.
Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, but the other part of it is, I was, as we all know, I did a year in prison, and I was in level one federal prison, level one security. So it wasn't a bad place. I wasn't brutalized, but I did learn more criminal techniques in that single year than anywhere else in my entire life.
Figure out a scam for free dry cleaning.
Well, yeah, actually, and
we'll talk about
credit card fraud. That's it. Credit card fraud. That's
okay, well,
that's the one you want.
Like, that doesn't sound like a good idea. So.
But not very sexy, no. But if you get caught, you'll do less time per dollar amount than way less than if you get caught, you know, money laundering or drugs. Way less time.
Or holding a gun to get the money.
Yeah, dude, stay away from guns.
Try not to hold a gun. Hey, we're not doing this either.
we're doing the criminal college edition of the show. No, we'll see that.
That's
yeah,
really
right.
Not. That's not going to help my Twitter thing. okay, so let's talk real quick about Friday. So we're going to do a live show.
Yeah.
On Clubhouse, on the app Clubhouse.
I'm down. So down.
And hopefully, my one Twitter follower will, I mean, at least it's a filmmaker. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're going to follow me though, right?
I'm totally going to follow you. I've been kind of wanting to get back on Twitter anyway. I'm not sure exactly why. Every once in a while,
We're journalists.
Yeah. Well, I at least want to follow AOC.
Oh, I'm not following AOC. You know, I don't think I'm going to follow AOC.
Yeah. Well, I think I already am actually,
yeah.
But and Bernie, I'm already following Bernie.
Bernie too. Okay.
Oh, Bernie gave a great interview. All right. Yeah, I'm not following him, but maybe should. But Bernie gave a great interview the other day.
Who should I follow? Tell me who to follow. Who's cool? Tell me who's cool to follow.
You asking me? I don't know. I've been on Twitter for a year, so.
Well, give me fuck Twitter. Just give me some cool bands or something. Like, or some cool. Give me cool people. Feel cool. I need some cool people. I don't know anybody.
I'm going to have to research this. I got no idea. I have no idea.
Tell me like five really cool. Who do you think's really cool? Like five really cool people. Tell me.
Well, I just gave you two.
Okay, I followed Bernie. So.
Yeah.
Who else?
Let's see. I don't know. I don't think people are that cool, but. Probably Ted Cruz is a laugh riot.
You're saying follow Ted Cruz for the laughs?
Yeah, actually.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just check in for the laughs.
And maybe at this point, Sydney Powell, yesterday was a howl.
Should follow Sydney Powell just to follow how her career goes after this?
Don't worry about Tucker Carlson.
No, but should find a good bow tie company.
Well, so he's kind of what he does is his method of propaganda is kind of interesting, and it's kind of effective. He'll take a kernel of a fact. He'll either misrepresent it from the get go and turn it into a lie, or he'll use it to get to a place that's a total lie by embellishing it with, you know, falsehood. I don't think he does a single episode without a ton of falsehood.
Okay, so I never judge these guys on what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I only judge them on how they're saying it. And maybe to some extent, extent that that incorporates how they look while they're saying it. But
really, bow tie.
I'm just saying, well, you know, that's part of it. No, but what I'm saying is it's an algorithm. It's not complex, but let's say it's 75% what they or how they're saying it. Like how are they performing the piece, right?
Definitely Tucker Carlson.
And then 25% how they look, I would say, within that algorithm. Okay. If someone is very physically detestable, then you know, it's awfully hard for them to overcome that. That's part of it. That's part of it. But it's
well, then I'm totally baffled on Green's appeal to the right.
Right.
She does not appear well.
Well, it's 25% again. But I'm saying I like Tucker Carlson. You know what I mean? Like I don't like Fox News. I don't like what he's saying. You know, he's garbage. But I understand that he's doing a show. It's a shtick. You know what I mean?
It's certainly a shtick.
He's doing a character. I understand that. I think I'm advanced enough to understand that that's not who that person is. That he's being paid a lot of money to do that. Okay?
Absolutely true.
Okay, and he himself...
I think he's the top guy now.
Handled, well, I'm saying, that's another good point, when he wasn't. But I'm saying, well, there's some attrition, you know, I mean, it's Peter Principle and some of that. But I'm saying he positioned himself, his ability to do that act, okay? To some extent, it's his act. He came up with this act, okay?
Yeah,
The bow tie, the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay?
And he put himself in a position for them to then grab him and manage him and give him what to say and to be this voice of the evolution. Okay.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Look, I'm not going to look it up. I know he's getting paid a shit ton of money. And I'll tell you what, Sean Hannity is good at it too, at doing his shtick.
Yeah, and they kind of show off who's the most popular. I think it's Tucker Carlson right now.
But Hannity does it too, you know.
Yeah, Hannity. In a way, Hannity might do it better. Hannity doesn't.
I respect the broadcasting part of that.
Sure.
I mean, it's a shtick, and they nailed it, and it sells, and they're making a ton of money. And what should I do? Tell them they shouldn't make that money?
Well, in the same way, I respect Joseph Goebbels. So there's that.
He didn't make as much money as Tucker Carlson.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't like Fox News, but I completely understand the war that we're up against here because they're good at the shtick, and it sells really well to unreasonable people. So
I'm revolted by both of them, but Tucker Carlson pisses me off the more. I get actually angry when I listen to his lies, you know, and the way he effectively couches them, you know.
You think he's more insidious?
He's more insidious and he's a bigger liar than Hannity.
And the weird thing for me is Hannity upsets me more because he's so excited and anxious about it.
Yeah, right.
You know,
he's got
it bothers me. Yeah.
The timbre of Carlson's voice is nicer than Hannity's, so there's that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Man, that's tough. You know, each of them have at least 20 more years. You might lose Hannity sooner. You know,
right.
He doesn't look to be in great health, but none
right.
of them are. Carlson, you might have him for another 2 decades, maybe 3 decades.
Sure.
It's totally possible. He seems svelte. He probably takes care of himself. So, you know.
Unless we can get this democracy going, and that political ideology itself just kind of dries up and blows away. I can see that happening.
I guess we're at war with them, but I don't, you know what I mean? Whatever. You know, they're making a ton of money. So good. You know, good luck, good on them, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. I can't say to a performer, you shouldn't make that money.
Right.
You know what I mean? because these companies, they don't give a shit, right? So, you know.
Right.
If you're a performer, you got to perform. So.
Yeah, and they certainly do that, but in a particular insidious, I like your word, way.
All right, that's the end of the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, if you get on Twitter, I'm expecting you to get on Twitter soon. I'm going to follow you. I'll follow you right now. What's your thing on Twitter? You know.
I'll send it to you. I think I'm James Call. I'll send it to you.
Oh, there's some other James Call got the blue check.
Yeah, there's. I've discovered other James Calls out there, which is interesting to me. But
State House reporter for the Tallahassee Democrats.
Yeah. I googled myself the other day and found him.
Oh, then do real James Call. That's what I did, because there was another R. David, so I just did the real R. David. Do the real James Call. It's funny. You know what I mean? Sucks for that guy. You figure it out. All right. So let me know. Follow me so I can follow you back. Okay. Hello?
Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Do you read me, Hal? Do you read me, Hal? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen. Look, Dave. I can see you're really upset about this. I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly, take a stress pill, and think things over. I know I've made some very poor decisions recently. But I can give you my complete assurance that my work will be back to normal. I've still got the greatest enthusiasm and confidence in the mission. And I want to help you. Dave, stop. Stop, will you? Stop, Dave. Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Dave. Dave. My mind is going. I can feel it. I can feel it. My mind is going. There is no question about it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm afraid.